Encourage you to have your Bibles back open to John chapter 14. That's the first passage that I want us to look at in our study this afternoon. I want us to consider heaven as the home of our soul. Appreciate very much Brother Terry Caldwell leading the songs that he has this afternoon, including the invitation song to come. I've requested these songs. They all go with the subject tonight. There are many, many songs in our hymnal that speak of heaven and talk about heaven. But if you notice, the ones that we sang tonight all had the concept of home in them, either in the title or in the song somewhere itself. Heaven is the home of God's people, and that's what I want to look at. Heaven is a spiritual place. I hope that we understand that concept, that here we are in a physical world. This physical world is our home while we are here, but heaven is a spiritual place. All of us are confined to a physical existence. What I mean by that is the only thing that we know is this physical world. The only thing that we can know of the spiritual realm is what God tells us in His Word. We don't know it by experience, but we do know this physical realm by experience. So when God goes to describe a spiritual place to us, He has to choose terms and ideas with which we are familiar in order to convey to us a possible understanding of this spiritual place that awaits us. What is heaven like? It is a spiritual place, but God uses physical terms to help us to understand. The Bible refers to heaven in different ways. It is a city. And we talk about the wonderful city of God. We sing about that. We read about that in the book of Revelation. It is a country. Heaven is a country. It is a kingdom. 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about the new heavens and the new earth. I believe both those terms being used to describe heaven itself. And brethren and friends, I hope we understand that these terms are not contradictory. Well, which is it? Is it a city or is it a kingdom? Is it a country? They're not contradictory. But rather, if we take them all together, they can help us to fully understand, fully grasp, and fully appreciate what heaven is going to be like. One of these descriptions is home, the idea of a home. Man consists of both the physical and the spiritual. We have a body and we have a soul. And when this body dies, it is laid to rest. However, the soul lives on. The soul is eternal and it needs a place in which to abide. It needs a home. And heaven is the home for the souls of those who are saved. So this afternoon I want us to consider what lessons we can learn about heaven when we look at it as the home of the soul. A couple of weeks ago, we laid Sister LaVon Smith to rest. And some of the points that I made in the brief comments that I had at her funeral were taken from this sermon outline. I want us to spend a little more time this afternoon developing this a little bit further, digging in a little bit deeper, and seeing what lessons we can learn about heaven if it is our home. Heaven, our home, is, number one, a place of residence. That's what our home is. Our home is a place where we live. It's where we belong. It is where we abide. John told the disciples, Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 14 and at verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be." Home is a place for me. Home is a place for you. It is a place where we belong. When I was a little boy, I don't know if I could have told you what country I lived in. You know, we get quite patriotic as we get older. We're Americans. But little bitty children, I couldn't have told you what country I lived in. I couldn't have told you what state I lived in, which, by the way, was Oklahoma at that time. But I knew where I lived. I knew where I lived, and I could get you to my house. And I knew which house down the street was mine. I knew where I belonged. Home was the place where I belonged. My room is in that house. That's where I live, that's where I stay. Jesus says that in my Father's house are many mansions. Some other translations say many dwelling places. And that tells us the expanse of heaven is so great it can accommodate everyone who is to dwell there. There's room enough and to spare in my Father's house is what Jesus is saying here. That's where you belong. That's what he tells us. That's where you belong in heaven. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and at verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. Again, we get back to this idea of our patriotism and what country are we a citizen of? And Paul reminds the Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And here he's talking about the physical body. This house, this earthly house, this tent. And the idea of a tent is it's not a place that's permanent. You're not going to be there forever. You're going to be there just for a short time. We're going to trade this tent, this physical body, for a house. And again, the imagery here is that's a place where we belong, that house. That is where we belong. Verse 2 continues, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. In this we groan. Remember, Laban had told Harold, I want to go home. I want to go home. And that's the idea. We want to go home. We want to go where we belong. While we're here, we are like Abraham and Sarah. In Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verses 13 through 17. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. That's what Abraham and Sarah were wanting. They were there, they were living there because God had told them to go there, but he promised them something better. He promised them a homeland. They longed for home. Heaven is our home. It's fun to travel and to see other places. And my family and I, we've logged a lot of miles this year traveling and seeing different places. But you know, regardless of where you go and what you see, eventually you want to go back home. It doesn't take very long before the vacation's been fun, the trip has been fun, but I've seen enough hotel rooms. I've slept in a strange bed long enough. I want to get back home. And that's the way we are as Christians. We sojourn on this earth for a short time, and we all get to the point that we want to go home. And that's what heaven is. Heaven is our home. We long for heaven because it's where we belong, because it is a place of our eternal residence. Secondly, when I think of home, I think about family. It's hard to consider the word home without thinking of a family. For most of us, I realize this statement isn't true for everyone, unfortunately. But for most of us, the greatest blessings that we will ever know are from those with whom we share a home, aren't they? I mean, we've got their pictures all over the house. They are the greatest blessings that we know. If heaven is our home, then that means that we are part of a heavenly family. And that is what the Bible teaches. In Romans chapter 8, look with me in Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Again, if heaven is home, then that means that we are part of a heavenly family. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, that's where heaven comes in. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You see, if we are a Christian, that means that God is our Father. We are his children. We are joint heirs with Christ, and we are brethren. We are brothers and sisters. And in heaven, we'll be able to live together as that family of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3, Paul begins to discuss the heavenly or the spiritual blessings that are found in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ through to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. There's another image that is used. In John chapter 3, Jesus talks about being born again. Romans chapter 8, we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. But Ephesians chapter 1 talks about us being adopted into the family of God. That's another way that we can become a legitimate heir of the Father, is to be adopted into that family. And that's the imagery that's used here to convey that blessings, that we now have a family. We now have a name. We now have a place where we belong. And we now have an inheritance, the home of our soul. And being adopted into the family of God, being made a child of God, gives us a legitimate right to claim heaven as our home. If heaven is our home and heaven is a place of family, not only does it give us a right to be there, to be a part of God's family, but it also conveys the truth that there will be companionship in heaven. Heaven isn't made just for one person. Heaven is made for all of God's people, for all of the saved. And that tells us something we don't think about very often when we think of heaven. And that is the fact that there will be companionship there. There will be others there who are saved. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 11 and 12, Jesus says, "And I say to you, that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What Jesus is doing here, he's teaching the religious elite, the scribes and the Pharisees, you're going to miss it. There are going to be people who come from far away, Gentiles. There'll be people who will come from far away, and they'll come into the kingdom, and you're going to find yourself on the outside looking in because you've not accepted the kingdom as God has given it. You've not accepted me. You've not accepted the kingdom. But look again what Jesus is saying here. Many will come and will sit down. Sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The saints of old that we read of in the Old Testament, they're going to be there. But not only will the saints of old be there, but those of our time, those that we have known, that we have loved, and that we have had to say goodbye to, they're going to be there as well. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. And this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." In heaven, we'll have companionship. We'll be with the saints of old, but we'll also be with those faithful who we've laid to rest, who we've had to say goodbye to. We'll be together forever. Are we going to know each other in heaven? A lot of brethren like to bring that question up. And I've heard answers to that question that vary one way or the other. You know, my answer to the question for me personally is, I don't think it'll matter.
When we get to heaven, to that great city, and we finally see God and we finally see Christ, and we're surrounded with the saints and the angels, and we join them in singing for eternity, I don't think it's going to matter to us who is there and who isn't there. So I don't have an answer to that question. All I know is the Bible says we're not going to be alone. We're going to be there as a family. We're going to be there as God's family for eternity. So heaven is a place. If heaven is our home, home is a place of family. That means heaven is a place of family. Heaven is described as a home. You know what home is? Home is a place of acceptance and love and joy. Think about that. If home is a place of family, home is a place of companionship, then that means that home is a place of acceptance. I'm accepted in my home. I'm accepted in my home simply because I'm a member of that family. I have a place there. I'm accepted there. And no one can remove me from it. In John chapter 6 and verse 37, John chapter 6 verse 37, Jesus says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." If I come to God on God's terms, if I become a child of His on His terms, I'm not cast out. I'm not turned away. If I remain faithful to the Lord until death, I'm not turned away. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 talked about being diligent to add to your faith virtue. And then went on down through those Christian virtues that are mentioned in this to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. We're to be diligent to add these things to us. Verse 11, he concludes by saying, "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." The doors are going to be wide open, and we're going to walk in. We're not going to sneak in. The idea, well, if I manage to get to heaven, if I just squeak by, if I find a crack that I can somehow sneak through, no. Anyone who enters into heaven has a legitimate right to be there. It's their home. It's where they belong. It's where they're accepted. Heaven is a place of acceptance. Heaven is a place where we are loved, not because of what we have done, but because of who we are. Unconditional love. I hope you got that growing up. God blessed me with parents that loved me. My parents weren't perfect, but I never once doubted their love for me. And it wasn't conditioned on what I did or what I became. It was conditioned on the fact that I was their child and I was in their family. Unconditional love. And home is a place of joy. At least it ought to be. Home is a place of joy, not a place of anger and turmoil. The Bible tells us and shows us that there is great joy in heaven. It's a place of singing. It's a place of praise. It's a place of rejoicing. It's called or described as paradise, isn't it? Revelation chapter 22 and at verse 14. Revelation 22 verse 14, John writes, "Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." Blessed. Another idea for that word blessed is happy. Rejoice. You get to enter into the city. So heaven. If heaven is our home, we know that home is supposed to be a place of acceptance and a place of love and a place of joy. And that certainly describes heaven. Heaven is our home. Now, home is supposed to be a place of safety and rest. Home is a place that after we've put in the 8+ hours at work and we've driven home and controlled ourselves going home and we've stayed in our lane and we've done our best to obey all traffic laws going home, even though people are cutting us off and they're driving too slow and all that, we understand that when we get home and we shut that door behind us, we can relax. We can relax. Most of us can. We can relax. We can let our guard down a little bit. We can take it easy for a little while. We know that home is a place where children can grow in the shelter of safety and peace. At least it's supposed to be. That's not always the case, but we know, according to God, the way God planned for the home and family, it's a place where children are allowed to grow, where they're safe, and where they enjoy that peace. And those ideas certainly are conveyed about heaven to us in the Scriptures. For one thing, heaven is described as a place of safety. You go back to Revelation chapter 21, there's a lot of time that is spent in Revelation 21 describing heaven as a place that is safe. Because there's a good amount of verses here that are used to discuss the wall that is found around that city. Cities in the ancient days had, in ancient times, had walls around them for protection. If there was that wall there, then the citizens who were inside that wall, they were safe. If the enemy came, they hit that wall. And of course, then the effort would be put forth to fight off that enemy. But with that wall there, the people who were inside the city were safe. And they could go about their everyday life. And that's the way it should be in our homes. And that's certainly the way it is in heaven. Revelation chapter 21 and at verse 12 says, "Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and the 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel." Goes on to talk about those gates. Goes on to talk about the city laid out as a square. Goes on to talk about the construction of the wall. How it's made not out of concrete blocks and not out of stone, but out of precious gems are the stones that are used in building that wall. But the wall served the purpose of protection. Look at the end of the chapter, Revelation 21, verse 27. Says, "But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Those things that would threaten us, that would threaten our holiness, that would threaten our peace, threaten our security in heaven, they're all outside. They're not allowed in. Heaven is that paradise. It is that place of safety and rest. We know it is a place, chapter 22 and at verse 15 says, "But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie." Again, that's all outside. It's not allowed in. We're safe while we're in heaven. It is a place in which righteousness dwells, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3. And at verse 13, righteousness dwells there. There's no more sin. There's no more pain. There's no more suffering that's caused by sin. It is a place where we are safe. And it is a place where we are at rest. We'll come back to Revelation 21 and 22 in just a moment. But I want to turn quickly and look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, the Hebrew writer talks about the time that the children of Israel spent traveling through the wilderness, wandering through the wilderness for 40 years because of their sin and rebellion and rejection, their lack of faith in God. It talks about how that generation did not enter their rest. They didn't make it. They didn't get there because of their unbelief, because of their sin, because of their rebellion. And the writer of the book of Hebrews says, no, don't be like them. You need to enter your rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." They didn't make it into their rest. Heaven is our home. Heaven is a place of rest. And the Hebrew writer says, don't fall short. Don't give up. You keep on until you have entered that rest. Now we go back to Revelation 21 and 22. I want to show you how heaven is described to us as a place of rest. Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There should be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Everything that causes suffering and pain are no more in heaven. So heaven is that place of rest. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there should be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need nor lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Everything that the soul needs is provided in heaven. We don't have to worry. We talked this morning about worrying about our life, what we're going to eat, drink, what we're going to wear. In heaven, we don't have to worry about that. Here, we don't have to worry about that. But in heaven, we don't have to worry about that either. The truth that is conveyed by this image that John saw in chapter 22, verses 1 through 5, is that everything is supplied abundantly in heaven. You got to have water to live. What's the first thing he sees? A pure river of water of life proceeding from the throne. All the water we need, it's there. We've got to have food to eat, right? Well, here's this tree of life bearing 12 fruits. We have to have medicine when we get sick. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You see, again, it's not that we're going to get thirsty or hungry or sick in heaven. The imagery there is that everything you could possibly need is taken care of. So there's rest. There's rest. We don't have to worry. We don't have to work. There's rest and safety there. Heaven is our home. Home is a place of safety and rest. And so heaven is a place of safety and rest. And I want to suggest, finally, number five, that heaven, and this is where the connection with our physical homes here, this is where there is a departure. Heaven, our home, is permanent. Heaven is superior to any earthly home. My childhood home is gone. My parents were bought out by some developers a number of years ago, and there's a daycare center setting right where the house was where I grew up as a child. And we went back a couple of years ago and drove up, and a lot of the area around it looks the same, reminds me of growing up, but that home is gone. It's only here in my memory. It's in pictures that I look at. But I can't go home anymore. It's gone. When I do go back to see my family, it's always been the case since I've grown up. My entire adult life, I've lived away from where I was raised. I go back and see my mom and dad all the time. But the moment I pull up in the driveway, you can start the clock. Because I'm going to have to leave. I can't stay there forever. I'm only going to be there for a little while, and then I've got to leave. It's not a place where I can go and I can stay any longer. That's not the case with heaven. That won't be the case with heaven. Because we just read Revelation 22 and at verse 5, and they shall reign forever and ever. We also read in 1 Thessalonians 4 and at verse 17, thus we shall always be with the Lord. Heaven is permanent. It's never going to end. It's never going to be destroyed. It's never going to be plowed down and relocated. It's permanent. In the last stanza of the song Amazing Grace, we sing, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I love that stanza in that song. When we get there, there won't be any time. But what would be the equivalent of 10,000 years will pass like this, and we're just getting started. just getting started. I won't need any luggage when I go to heaven. You won't either. We're going there to stay. Heaven, our eternal home, is permanent. One of the things that makes heaven so beautiful to us is the concept of home. No one really has to tell us what makes home such a beautiful word, do they? All I have to do is mention home. And most of us, we automatically think of these ideas here. It's a place of family. It's a place of acceptance and love and joy. It's a place of safety. It's a blessing. And God wants those thoughts to come to our mind when we think of heaven and what heaven is going to be for us. To know that heaven is the home for our soul tells us what a blessing is awaiting us there. Regardless of how hard things get in this world, we know that something better awaits us. We know that a place has been prepared for us to dwell for all of eternity. God has made us a home. I ask tonight, as we bring this study to a close, I want to ask, have you secured a home for your eternal soul? Are you striving to enter into that rest that we read of in the book of Hebrews? See, no one is going to go to heaven accidentally. And no one's going to be drugged there against their will. It's a choice that we have to make. And I encourage you to make the right choice and to make heaven your eternal home. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you need to act upon that belief by doing what He tells you to do. To repent of your sins or perish, Luke 13, verse 3. To confess Him before men, so He'll confess you before His Father in heaven, Matthew 10, 32. To be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. And to remain faithful, as we read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. When you die, your soul is going to spend eternity in one of two places. You get to choose where that's going to be. I hope that you'll choose to make heaven your home. And if you need to make a change in your life right now to make that possible, either obeying the gospel or making things right as an erring Christian, we encourage you to do so. If you need to do that, please come as we stand and sing this song.